The scripture reading this morning is in the book of Galatians, chapters 3:23 through chapter 4:7. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord.
Cheyenne, take the kids away. Well, let's pray once more as we prepare to take a look at this passage together. Mighty God, we give you thanks for the freedom of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus. We give you thanks for today, that we can sit together, called and made one by your Holy Spirit. But now as we study your word together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, well, I'm here in the flesh today. For those of you who were here last week, you got to hear me talk on a video, which that was kind of weird doing that, but hopefully it all came through all right, and you could see and hear everything. So today you have to put up with me in person this time. So, you know, whatever. That's good for most of you maybe, but for some of you, you're like, oh, I kind of like it when he's just phones it in. That's better. Whatever. So we're going to talk about babysitting at first. Oh, no, I didn't itemize this. Okay. I forgot how to use PowerPoint in the week that I took off. So, we're going to talk about babysitting. This passage in verse 23 talks about being held in custody under the law, being locked up, the law being put in charge of us until Christ came. So, there's this idea of a custodial relationship between God's people and the law. So, to explain that, we'll go back to Abraham. Earlier in Galatians, we talked about how the promise of the gospel, the promise of God's people, the promise of God's kingdom came to Abraham by faith. And then Moses came. See, you're supposed to only see these one at a time, so you have to pretend you're not reading ahead, even though you are reading ahead. Then Moses came, and he brought the law. So for several hundred years between Abraham and Moses, the people had this promise, and they had this call to be God's people, but there wasn't a whole lot of shape to it. It was like, circumcise your child on the eighth day, and your boys, that is, and you'll be my people. And there wasn't a whole lot of like oomph to that other than the people, the descendants of Abraham, are God's people. So at the time of Moses, God gives them, right? We know about the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, but you also get about 603 more commandments on top of those that bring shape to the life of God's people, right? And that law, those instructions, those guidelines were for the people of God as, and what Paul is saying here, they are like a babysitter, that they babysat the people until they could become grown-ups, right? Because who needs a babysitter? Generally, people who can't take care of themselves, right? So for a long time, God's people couldn't quite take care of themselves. They needed this law. They needed these 613 instructions to tell them what's right, what's wrong, left, right, north, south, east, and west, and all that. Their directions, it was their compass for what it meant to be the people of God. But remember, the promise from the beginning was always rooted in faith. And that faith has come. And that faith has come in the form of a person. And that person is, Sunday school answer, shout it out. Oh, come on, shout it out. Jesus. Jesus loves me. Yeah, Jesus, you've heard that name before, right? I promise I've said it several times. I think we even sung it already this morning. Jesus. Jesus is the faith that has come. So, in being the perfectly faithful one, he has fulfilled the promise to Abraham. The promise of the kingdom, the promise of the good news of Jesus is fulfilled, well, of course, in Jesus. That promise is fulfilled. The people now have a fulfilled promise. So the people now have similar expectations, right? It's not like that the law has just does completely irrelevant now, but it has a different function. It's no longer a babysitter. The law is no longer this binding thing that everybody needs to follow. What has it has been fulfilled through the faith of Christ. And when we have faith in Christ and we are baptized into the family of Christ, then we get to be part of the royal family. Anybody think of themselves as royalty on a daily basis? Get up in the morning, put your crown on, and look in the mirror and say, I am Prince blah, blah, blah. I am Princess yada, yada. You guys should come up with more creative names for yourselves, but does anybody do that? Okay, maybe not. But I'm here to tell you that as people who have been incorporated into the body of Christ, you are part of the royal family. We're part of the royal family. And I'm not talking about the Queen of England and stuff. I'm talking about the real royal family, the family of Jesus. Right? Last week in my little video, I talked about how we're all family, right? We're all one body, one family. This is just further extrapolation on that point, that baptism into Christ is the marker of the royal family. Now, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. That is a huge passage, a huge verse, one that you memorize, one that has drastic implications for the gospel. I'm going to talk about it briefly, but next week, Jeff is going to talk a little bit more about that part of this passage. So I'll leave that a larger extrapolation of that verse to him. but I think the greater point in this section is that in the kingdom of God, these binaries are irrelevant. Jew and Gentile, slave free, male and female. Why? Because we are all one in Christ Jesus. In the kingdom of God, those binaries are irrelevant. In terms of our status before God, whether we're male or female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, is irrelevant in our status before God. But that doesn't mean that we're all the same, right? Right? We can look around and say, okay, well, we are all one in Christ, but that doesn't mean that me and Lorene Morgan are the same, right? We're not the same age. We're not the same height. We weren't born in the same city. Okay, I know. That's a shock to everybody. You all thought that we were the same height, but no, we're not the same. But that's just the reality. We are different. But when it comes to our status in Christ, all that stuff is irrelevant. And I want to look at this example that Paul uses starting in chapter 4. What I'm saying is that as long as heirs are underage, so you think of an heir to the throne, right? Like either Prince Charles or Prince William, one of those two is like my age, so like as I've grown up, I've seen him grow up, and my grandma used to talk about the royal family because she was really into that stuff. So the heirs, so those are heirs to the thrones, right? They're princes, but they're not, you know, they don't have real power yet. Eventually they will, maybe. Although it's, you know, what is power these days in that monarchy? But anyway, the greater point here. As long as heirs are underage, they are no different from slaves, although they own the whole estate. Okay, so how many people think that the royal servants and Prince Charles and Prince William are treated exactly the same within the royal household? How many people think that Prince William and Prince Charles have access to as little as the kitchen staff at whatever palace there is? You know, I'm not really up on this stuff, but it's a ridiculous claim to say that the heirs and the slaves are exactly the same. That's never been true, and that's not true. Only in one particular way. The only way that that's true is in terms of ownership status, right? Because the heirs don't actually own the estate. They are promised it. But just like a slave doesn't own the dishes that they serve everybody with, the heirs don't own that stuff yet. So there's a whole lot of difference between people, and there's a whole lot of difference between heirs and slaves. But in terms of status, what Paul is saying here is that they're the same. They're subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by their fathers. Verse 3, so also when we were underage, we were in slavery. Verse 4, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. We're not all the same, but our kingdom status comes from Christ alone. Our status in the kingdom of God is based entirely on the fact that Jesus lived a perfect life, suffered, died, and rose again on our behalf. That's our status in the kingdom of God. Our status is Jesus' status. We get it by attaching ourselves to him, by being part of that royal family, okay? So everybody in the kingdom of God has the exact same status. Again, that doesn't mean we're exactly the same. So, my question then is, what does it mean to be thy kingdom come people? Now, we know that's a part of the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So if we know that our rightful status in the kingdom of God is everybody on equal grounding, slaves, heirs, male, female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, then when we pray thy kingdom come, we better ought to live that way too. And we better ought to be seeking to make this world look like the kingdom, right? Isn't that when we pray thy kingdom come and when we do kingdom work, we are trying to say what? We're trying to see it on earth as it is in heaven. And as it is in heaven, is everybody having equal status? So even though we are all different, we have different statuses right here on this earth, right? I was lucky to be born into a family with two parents, like no divorce in any of my family, parents who had good jobs the whole time I was growing up. I got access to good education. I'm tall. I have white skin. I grew up with a lot of privilege, right? I've been pulled over one time in East Lansing, and they just said, oh, you're cool. One time in my whole life, and I've been driving for, you know, 18 years. Friends I grew up with who had different color skin than me pulled over a lot more than me. I promise you that. Most of them didn't make it out of high school. And that's not because they were worse drivers than me, right? This is the reality of the world that we live in. So when I pray thy kingdom come, and if in the kingdom of God, every one of us has status, then what I need to do is try to help that equal status take root and shape right here on this earth, right? And I'm not saying that we, like, throw the justice system out. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that where I have privilege and other people don't, I've been entrusted and I can steward that and maybe try to give it away a little bit. What I'm saying is that all this stuff about being one family has implications for how we live our lives. And if we live and we truly believe that all of God's people are one family, well, then sometimes that requires something of us. And we can't just turn the other way and pretend like suffering doesn't exist. And I know it's overwhelming, right? The issues and problems that we see in the world around us. It's hard to wrap our brains around. But to be thy kingdom come people means that we are trying to enact this reality that is true, that we all have the same status in the kingdom of God, every single one of us. Jesus changes everything. So, I'm not going to let you see that yet, sorry. You already saw it, but I'm putting it away for a second. I'll go back to it. There are many cultures today, and our culture probably used to be a lot more like this, where the dad of the family was the patriarch, the paterfamilias, the father. You addressed him very formally, and you didn't step out of line with father, right? Many of you know a little bit too close to home exactly what I'm talking about, right? And I'm not saying that that's all necessarily, authority structure is not necessarily a bad thing. But there was a time when that was the only way, right? That was the only way that existed. The father was this stringent authority figure, and everybody had to have their deference toward father and called him father or lord or master. Or you just didn't talk to him at all because you just tried to put your nose to the ground and stay out of trouble and please him. So maybe his name wasn't Father, but more like Father, like that. See what I did there? Father? You were scared to approach him. When you contrast that with the image of a beloved little child who leaps up on their dad's lap and says, "Hey, Dad," and starts pulling on his ears and his hair and pulling his glasses off and spitting on him and licking him, and there's a familiarity there, right? When we look at God's people and we look at the progression of the people's relationship with God over time, it's a lot like that. It's not that the God of the Old Testament was like this bad dude who was gonna strike everybody down and like then Jesus came and fixed everything and now everything's all good. It's not that the character of God changed all that much. I mean, Jesus is just as concerned about justice and righteousness as the Father ever was. But the relationship has changed, right? Our relationship to God has changed significantly. Christ is the one who broke down the wall. He did not timidly approach his father with his head down and say, "Father." He was the beloved child of God, and he called him Dad. And everybody was horrified when Jesus called Yahweh Dad. Because you don't call Yahweh Dad. You don't actually even say the name Yahweh. Because if you say it wrong, you might be struck dead on sight. That's what people believed. Was God really going to strike them dead on sight if they pronounced his name wrong? Christ breaks down the wall. and invites us into the exact same relationship with the Father that he has with the Father. And that is a father, that is a relationship where he is Abba. And Abba is the Arabic word for dad. It's an informal word. It's the word that you would use with your earthly father to say, dad. Jesus invites us into that kind of a relationship with the Father, the God of the whole universe. Because that's the relationship he has. And whatever he has, he wants us to have. We are part of the royal family. So our dad is the God of the universe. And yes, we need to respect him, right? We need to respect our dad. But we need to understand that our dad loves us and wants the best for us and wants us to jump up on his lap and wants us to tug on his ears and wants us to throw tantrums in front of him rather than trying to hold it in and pretend like we're holding it all together, right? God can handle all of that stuff. He can handle us because we are his beloved children and he loves us. He's called us into one family together. And all of us have that same status as his beloved son, Jesus. We call the gospel good news. I'm not sure if the news gets any better than that. That we are kids of the God of the universe. He's our dad. He loves us. And he's the best dad we could ever fathom. Come into his rest. Hop up onto his lap. Enjoy the gifts that he gives. Let's pray. Mighty God, we are humbled and overjoyed and a little resistant to the idea of being your kids. Not because we don't want to be, but because we don't know how to be. Lord, teach us, show us what it is to follow you, to know you, to love you. Teach us what it is to live out thy kingdom come here on this earth. And hear our cries and our prayers. We thank you. And we cry out, Abba, Father, Dad, hear our cries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.